First, thank you for all your prayers. I'm doing much better. My back is feeling better. But it's funny. It feels better when I move. And when I stand for a long time, then it starts to tighten up on me. So I'm going to continue to sit because I, you know, just take some time to preach. And it was great to see 40 young people and 40 volunteers here yesterday. Just packing the place. And it was so much fun to see all the kids. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 6. Romans 6 in our series this summer, Unashamed. Unashamed from Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. That's our theme verse this summer, and we're getting through the first 8 chapters of Romans. We'll take a brief break in September for our missions emphasis month, and then pick up again and finish the rest of Romans in October and November. We are doing this series because our annual theme for 2021 is what? Cultivate, plant, water, harvest. The words are on the back wall if you needed a cheat sheet. Okay, we want to make sure that we reach out to people and learn how to do that. Romans is the doctrine why we do that. That's why we're going through Romans. Everything needs doctrine. There needs to be a why for what we do, not just a tradition for what we do. And so this is the doctrine. This is the biblical foundation. And when we get into Romans 6 today, we're now talking about the life of salvation and the freedom from sin and the living to Christ. And we sang all those great songs today about how we're free from sin and alive to Christ, how death was arrested. Now my life has began. He's turned graves into gardens. I couldn't figure out graves. Graves into gardens, beauty to from ashes, bones into armies. There's a transformation that happens when we get saved, that the old is gone, the new has come. And don't you want your friends to know that? Don't you want your family members to know that, and your acquaintances and your coworkers? That's what we're here for. We have 4 markers, our identity, who we are. We are saved by grace. We are God's children, heirs to the kingdom of God. We're the family. Therefore, we have the fellowship and the worship and the beautiful communion and study of God's word. And by the way, I know that because of the new mask mandates that many have decided to stay home. But let me just encourage you that part of being family is being together. And you can come to church and be on the patio without your mask on. You can do that. If you want to come inside and be masked, if you're okay with that, great. But just let me encourage you folks, we got to be the family. And this year and a half has really wreaked havoc on those relationships. So if you're bold enough, come stay inside. If you don't like that because you got to wear a mask, then come stay outside and enjoy that. But let's rebuild that. Where our purpose, our third marker, is that reaching out, the cultivating, planting, watering, and harvesting. That's what we're here to do. So anyway, how many did the Romans Road verses last week? Okay, a couple of bold hands. The rest of you are scared to death. Okay, let's go through them. We have 4. Well, 3 from last week and a new one today, making up 4. If you don't have the Romans Road brochure out in the Welcome Center or in the foyer, you can pick up that pamphlet. And these are verses that will help you guide someone in the process of understanding faith in Jesus Christ. So the first one, first 2 actually, are from Romans chapter 3, telling us that we are all sinners, that we're all on the same plane. Nobody's better than anybody else. And Romans 3:10 says what? There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one righteous, not even one. Okay, Caitlin, click off that slide. Okay, no, click them all off somehow. There's a way to get a blank screen on there. Oh, she already did it. Okay, that's my next one. Got it. Okay, Romans 3:10, what is it? For there is no one righteous, not even one. That means you and me, none of us. Next one, Romans 3:23. Don't put it up yet. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, I'm hearing a lot of voices. This is good. Okay, I know some of you are like, and you can fake me out that way. I know you're doing that. Okay, but put up the slide, Caitlin. For all have sinned, say it with me, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where we all start. That's ground level. All of us are on the same level. All of us are in trouble. You, me, your friends, family, everybody. But we understand that God has given us a great salvation. Romans 5:8, before we look at the slide. Romans 5:8. Here we go. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, I had a pretty good return over here. Here in the middle, so-so. Over here, completely non-existent. I'm not really sure. So let's try it again. But God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing news, right? Why? Not when we got good enough. Not when we did enough righteous things. Not when we came to church enough times. Not when we gave enough money in the offering. None of that counts. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's powerful. That's powerful. Today we learn a new one, Romans 6:23. And you can put that up, Caitlin, because it's new for everybody. We're going to learn this today. Say it with me. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that's awesome. We earn wages for what we do. You do a job, you get wages. Some of you make minimum wage, some of you make big time money. But you get a wage, whatever that is. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift, it's not earned. You don't get God's grace by wages. You get God's grace free because God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a free gift. And that comes just for the asking. That's awesome. That's powerful. All right, so you got four verses now. I will test you again next. Actually, Pastor Glenn will text you again next week because he'll be teaching Matthew or Romans 7. All right, two key words now. The word we've been working on a lot is justification. That word means the immediate declaration of righteousness. When you got saved, when you accepted Jesus, boom, God the Father declared you legally righteous, like a judge would declare someone not guilty of their crime, even though they were actually guilty of the crime. Think of a pardon. Like sometimes the president will issue pardons for people. They did the thing. But now in light of the law, they're free. They're not guilty. Their slate has been wiped clean. That's what justification means. That when you see that word, we have been justified, or he came to justify us. Romans 5:1, since we have been justified, we have peace with God. He's declared us righteous. But are we actually righteous? No. How many still mess up? Okay, everybody's hand goes up. Of course we are. Everybody messes up and our life is just like all over the place. That's this other word, sanctification. That's the actual process of becoming saved. That we work this process of actually becoming righteous. And one day when we see Jesus face to face, he'll make us righteous. So our declaration and our actual being will match. That's what comes then. So chapter 3 and 5, or 3 through 5 of Romans, talks about he died for me, justification is provided. Chapters 6 through 8 is I died with him, sanctification practiced. Justification provided, sanctification practiced. And we're in that part of the scripture right now. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, that's the sanctification process. To us who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. That's what we're going to learn today. The message of the cross is the power of God. Say that verse with me again, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Say it with me. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that for us that are being saved, you would help us understand this doctrine so that we would learn how to turn graves into gardens, trade ashes for beauty, that we would see that death was arrested and our life has begun. Thank you for this message, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Chapter 6 is this. We are dead to sin, alive to Christ. We are dead to sin, alive to Christ. Now, chapter 6 is actually a response to the last couple of verses of chapter 5. Okay? Chapter 5, the last couple of verses say this. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the logic is this. Remember, Paul's logical. He's a brilliant scholar. He's a lawyer. He gets all this stuff. And so he's going through all the ins and outs and breaking it down for us. And he's saying where sin grows, grace grows all the more. And when the law is added, sin increases. But where sin increases, grace increases. So then with that thought logic in mind, Paul's already seeing what the Romans are going to say next. He's heading off their thought process before they even get to it. And he starts with chapter 6. Okay? People think that, oh, if grace increases and my sin because of the law increases, therefore makes grace increase, why not sin more? Because if I sin more, grace increases more. Isn't that a good thing? And you know, a lot of people strangely think that today. Hey, I'm saved, man. I'm justified. God looks at me just as if I'd never sinned. So I can sin all I want because he didn't see my sin. Party! Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great scholar, calls this cheap grace. And he didn't mean that in any kind of accurate theological sense. This cheapens grace, man. That's forgiveness without repentance. That doesn't work. That's being justified without then a behavior that follows. Oh, we're justified, but remember, the faith that justified us is made proven by our actions. 1 John chapter 3 says, you can't continue in sin. It nullifies the statement of faith you made. If you can make a statement all you want. How many know talk is cheap? It's behavior that matters. And so Paul would say, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Bonhoeffer would say, whoa, there's no cheap grace here. Jesus died on the cross. Therefore, if we say we're going to live by faith, we will work to gain that righteousness that he declared already through justification. So that's what Paul is heading off at the pass here. So we're going to look at three things today. The mind, what we need to know. The heart, what we need to believe. And the will, why we need to yield. Okay? First, let's start with the mind. What we need to know. The first 10 verses of Romans 6. Christian living depends on Christian learning. That's doctrine. If Satan can keep Christians ignorant, he can keep us unimportant. If we don't know the scripture, if we don't know doctrine, we'll be just flailing away, just doing our best, that we don't really know what we're doing. The believer's identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, the message of the cross, is the power of God for us. That's what we need to learn. So this is what we need to know. Let me read for you. You can follow with me on the screens. What shall we say then in response to the end of Romans 5? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or, say it with me, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For what? For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. What? For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Paul wants us to know some things. Three times he says, don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? And then he explains this. You've been identified with Christ. As he died, you died. As he lives, you live. That's the message of this. Do you just keep sinning so grace might increase? No, you died to sin. That can't happen any longer. So first bullet, we are identified with Christ's crucifixion and resurrection through baptism. Listen, salvation is more than just that legal declaration. Oh, that's the great start. That's awesome. But we live the sanctified life because of the justified life. We know we've been set free from sin. Therefore, we practice being set free from sin. And that's the daily journey that we all live in. It's this ongoing living relationship with God. Listen, whatever happened on the cross happened to you. Let's say that. Whatever happened on the cross happened to me. Say it again. Whatever happened on the cross happened to me. He died to sin, we die to sin. He resurrected, we resurrect to new life. That's powerful. He died to sin, we died to sin. He rose to life, I raised to life. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. I'm seated there. I'm not there yet, but I'm seated there. Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 says that. Now we've identified with the first Adam, Romans 5 said, remember? Because of Adam's sin, we all became sinners. That's identification. But death was arrested and my life began. Because of Jesus, I'm no longer identified with the old Adam. I'm identified with the new Adam, the new one who was raised from the dead. I'm identified with Jesus now. Sin's grip has been broken in my life. And it says, this is done through that dynamic of baptism. Now, let me make sure we understand. Some people think that baptism is just something you get around to doing at some point. And this is why we don't baptize infants. Because they don't know anything of this. They just look at you and go, and drool all over themselves. They don't know what's going on. We grow up, we start to understand. Therefore, when I'm baptized, that's the outer profession of the inward transformation. When I'm buried beneath the water of baptism, it signifies my death to sin. When I'm raised out of the water, that's my identification with Christ's resurrection, and I am new. Now, the newness and all that happened in the Spirit. The dunking and the raising doesn't magically do that for you, but the reason you're doing the dunking is to signify that happened. You follow me? So when we fill the tank, it comes out of the hose. It's not like, you know, whew, holy water or something, and it makes it all happen. No, it already happened inside by your faith through grace, or by grace through faith. It already happened. But that baptism then is that visible representation. So therefore, everybody ought to be baptized. If you're not baptized yet, go online, get on the connection card, fill it out, say, I want to be baptized because Romans 6 says so. And that's what we need to do. So, Christ died to put sin to death. We are dead to sin, and sin no longer has power over us. Why? Because we're dead to it. You're dead. Does the alcoholic have a temptation to drink when he's dead? No. Go to a memorial service of a person who struggled with alcohol and wave a glass filled with alcohol underneath his nose. He won't care. He's dead. Does the person struggling with lust struggle with lust when they're dead? No. Put that person in the casket and put a porno magazine in front of them and they won't react. They're dead. Church, that's what this is saying. We're dead to sin. Now, remember, there's that conflict. This is a faith thing. So are we going to react if we're struggling with certain sins? Yes, because we still are alive in this body. But that's the faith part. Because we're dead to sin and we identify with Jesus, we can say by faith to that, I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. You no longer have dominion over me. I died. Now that's the faith step, because sometimes you got to say that over and over and over because we still live in this body and the body really wants that sin stuff. The body craves it. The body yearns for it because we're stuck not in the heavenly kingdom yet. We're still on earth. And so by faith we say over and over, I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. And that's what we need to practice continually and regularly when we live our lives for Jesus. Now, Christ rose from the dead, therefore we are alive with him for eternal life. This is what we got to know. I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to Christ. I'm alive to love my enemies now, not just those who love me back. I'm alive to being generous, knowing that I have an inheritance in heaven. I'm alive to giving sacrificial kindness and to forgive and to turn the other cheek. I'm alive to that. And I actually want to do those things. Now, by faith, do we really want to do some of those things? No. But that's the identification with Jesus. Lord, I don't want to live, I don't want to love this person, but I'm dead to that attitude. And Jesus, I'm alive to you to love this person. You follow how the faith works in this thing? This is the sanctification process. Now, here's the problem. There's too many Christians who are betweeners. We're between the identification with the first Adam and the identification with the second Adam. We're still stuck between the identification with the old life and identification with the new life. Some of us are saved but never satisfied. Living between Good Friday and Easter. We get the sorrow of death, of leaving the old life, but we never make it to the joy of the resurrection. Some of us are living between Egypt and the promised land, just wandering aimlessly, glad we're not slaves anymore, but never really retaining the power of God. Jesus says it this way, or the Gospels say it this way, there's a baptism of water and a baptism of fire. We're glad that we've been baptized in water. We're set free from sin. But we've never really gone to the baptism of fire from the Holy Spirit that gives us that anointing, that unction to say yes to Jesus every time. I say this a lot and I'll keep saying it. The most miserable person on the planet is a betweener. They got too much Jesus to enjoy the world and too much world to enjoy Jesus. And they're stuck in this miserable religious place. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, I wish you were hot or cold. Be one or the other. In the middle is just miserable. So here's what we got to know. We got to know that I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to Christ. Okay, we got that? Say it with me. I am dead to sin, I'm alive to Christ. Okay, number two, the heart. What we need to believe. This is just one verse. What we need to believe. Verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. And you say, didn't you just say that? I thought you just said that. Well, there's two words that are important. Count yourselves. Remember? Credited to, reckoned, count yourselves. 19 times in the book of Romans, those words are used, and they're all synonymous. Remember? Is that a counting word? So this is the accounting of God's righteousness to our life. It says, now in the same way, credit yourselves, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to Christ. This is the belief work. And the belief is not just what I know. The belief is what I will do. Okay? For the heart, it's the action. I'm not just going to know it. I'm going to do it. Okay? Big difference between knowing and doing, right? The demons know who God is. The demons just don't put their faith in God. They have knowledge. They don't have doing. There's a lot of Christians that have knowledge but not doing. We need to move from knowledge to doing. And that's what Paul is taking us in verse number 11. You have the power to say yes now. And this is what born again means. Born again means I used to be born from my mama. I was born of water. This is John 3. I was born of water. But then I was born of spirit. Oh, when I count myself dead to sin and alive to Christ, that's awareness now of I am truly. This is not just a feeling. This is actual. Because it requires action, obedience. It requires doing something. I'm born again. Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses, says this. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Paul's saying to the Romans. Same thing. I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead to sin. And the life I live, I'm not living it anymore, but by faith I'm saying, Jesus, live it through me. That's being born again. That can actually happen. Wherever you are in your life, you can say, Jesus, live through me right now. I don't want to love this person. I'm mad at him. Anybody ever been there? Okay, but Lord, love them through me. Say, Pastor, you don't understand what I've been through. I've been hurt deeply. Yes, I know. Jesus came to take the deepest of hurts. Jesus, I'm dead to that bitterness. I'm dead to that offense. I'm dead to that unforgiveness. Jesus, love through me. Get out of his way and surrender. We haven't got to the yield part. We're getting there. Love through me, Lord. You can do this. This is what he gave us to do by faith. Are we going to be perfect at it? No. Probably never until we see him. So let's look at this. Count yourselves. What that means, again, credited to your account. Credited to your account. What is credited? To believe I am dead to sin. Actually act that way. Listen, if I go to my bank account today and I look at my ledger and I find out that somebody has dropped $1 million into my account, there's two things I can do. One is I can be so happy. Oh, are you kidding me? Wow, this is awesome. William Prever just dropped $1 million into my account. You're my new best friend. Dude, thank you. That's nice, right? I know that it's in there. Count yourselves dead to sin is this. I'm spending that money. That's a different thing, right? It's one thing to believe it's there and to see it in your account. It's another thing to spend it. Oh man, I got some things I'd like to spend that money on. I got my heart set on a classic Corvette. I'm buying that sucker. Let's go on that world cruise, Sandra. We're off. We're going. Let's do this. Oh, after my missions pledge and my tithe, of course. You see, there's one thing to know it's there. There's another thing to actually spend it. That's this verse. Count it to your, or credit to your account. Count yourselves dead to sin but alive to Christ. Let's actually live this thing. Okay, now we're going to get practical in a minute on this. But the bottom line of crediting it is whatever finds strength in your life, the old stuff or the dead to sin, alive to Christ, whichever one finds most power, it's like you've probably heard the illustration. We have two dogs living inside of us. One is the dog that wants the old life, and one is the dog that wants death to sin and life to righteousness. Which one wins the fight inside of us? Well, it's the one you feed most. It's the one you feed most. And that's what we're going to get to now in yielding. We know, and we know we need to act. We know we need to believe. And now we need to know why we yield. And that's why we feed the dog that's going to actually grow in strength. And then we'll start to live dead to Christ and alive, or dead to sin and alive to Christ. This is the last part now. This is final surrender. This is daily surrender. Our bodies are God's temples, God's tools, God's temple to give him glory through our worship, through holiness. Let's read what Paul says. Verse 12 to 23 now. Therefore, say these words, do not let, what? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. What? Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but what? Rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And what? Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be called your master because you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that what? When you offer yourselves to someone to be to him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you what? Wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as what? You used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to increasing wickedness, what? So now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Say this last verse with me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many times there? I don't even know how many times it talked about yielding. Don't offer, do offer. Don't let it rain, let it rain. This whole last part is about surrender and yield, surrender, same thing. Why do we do this? First bullet, because of God's favor. We yield not because we have to. We yield not because we're told to, although we would do what we are commanded. We yield not because of religion. We yield because of God's grace. See, this is the operative thing. This is what connects our heart and our behavior to God. This is what develops for the relationship. Lots of other religions do because they're commanded, or do because they're afraid, or do because they just don't want God's judgment. Well, that creates obedience, but it doesn't create relationship. See, we obey because of his grace. Now we obey because he's commanded, but he's commanded out of his grace. Excuse me, so that we can have relationship. Practically, how do we do this then? How do we yield? Let me give you a whole bunch of bullet points about how we can yield on a day-to-day basis. First, realize you're powerless over sin. You are. In your flesh, when we say flesh, that's that natural body that wants sin, that gravitates towards sin, you are powerless. You say that with me? I am powerless. That's the first thing. To realize in and of yourself, you can never say no to sin and say yes to righteousness. Can't do it. Only by faith in God's grace can you do that. So first of all, you need to surrender that you can do it, because you can't. And then by faith, say no. Now, it's not just that easy, of course. But that's the faith operation. I'm powerless. I can't do this by myself. So by faith in Jesus, Jesus, you living through me can say no to this. And you living through me can say yes to what you want me to do. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't let the devil have a foothold. Why? Because if you give the devil a foothold, it'll soon become a stronghold. And a lot of us have strongholds in our life that started by a little foothold. We just said yes a little to sin. And then it grew, and we said yes again, and it grew, and we said yes again, and it grew, and it said yes again. Now we're caught. And it's so hard to say no, because we're wrapped up in this addictive behavior. So learn by faith to say no. Next one, put up guardrails or boundaries. In other words, stay as far away from it as you can. There's the old story of the logging driver who was applying for a job way up in the mountains. That the job offer was, who can drive my logging truck from the mountain regions down the windy road down to the mill? And three men applied for the job, and the first man came in. And the man said, why should I hire you to drive my logging truck? And he said, because I'm such a great driver, I'll get in that 18-wheeler loaded down with your logs, and I can get so close to the edge of the road, and I won't go over the edge. And said, fine, thank you for your interview. Next. The next man came in and said, I am such a great driver. I'll load my truck down in that 18-wheeler. And I can drive so that one of the tires of the dually in the back can hang over the cliff. And I won't go over. I'm that good. Said, thank you for your interview. Next candidate. Next candidate said it came in. He said, why should I let you drive my truck? That I'm such a good driver, I'm going to load your 18-wheeler down, and I'm going to stay as far away from the edge as I can. Which one do you think got the job? It's not the one who wants to dangle close to sin. It's the one who wants to stay as far away from it as possible. So put up boundaries. Know ahead of time where you're susceptible. Know ahead of time where you struggle. And stay away from it. Do whatever you've got to do. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He didn't mean physical mutilation. He said, as far away as possible, set up those boundaries. Kind of similar, don't put yourself in position that will tempt you. If you're a struggler with alcohol, don't hang out in the bar. If you're a struggler with lust, don't subscribe to things that are going to cause you to lust. Don't watch those movies. Whatever your struggle is, stay away from it. Know ahead of time. Surround yourself, next one, with people that you can lean on. You know, we need each other. That's why the fellowship is so important. Ecclesiastes says, a cord of many strands is not easily broken. Get around people that can support you, that can help you. Small groups, our groups in common are great for that. And I love the intimacy that we share. Even over Zoom, most of our groups are still on Zoom. It's a wonderful time. Surround yourself with people that will support you. You need that strength. Be quick to obey. I've learned this. If I'm slow to obey, I'm usually going to fall into sin. Partial obedience is not obedience. Partial surrender is not surrender. You don't surrender kinda. You don't obey kinda. You either obey or you don't. You either do it or you don't. Which is it? Do it quick. Yes, Lord, I'm moving now. Immediate response. And have a desperate reliance upon God. God, I can't do this without you. It's going to be you or I'm going to fail. That's what Paul meant in 2 Corinthians when he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because I'm weak, I'm powerless. I rely on you, Jesus. Okay, we yield because of God's grace. Number two, we yield because of God's freedom. Because of his freedom. Because we used to be slaves to sin. Now, we're alive to Christ. Like the prodigal son. He could come home because he was a slave to sin. He was a slave feeding the pigs. He says, man, I got to get out of this. And I used to be in a home and I can go back there. We can come to Jesus and he's going to welcome us every time. Every time. What are some ways that we can yield because of God's freedom? Some of the things you can do to offer yourselves, not just resist sin, but how do we offer to God? Some very practical things. This is not rock and science. This is not difficult stuff. The faith is hard, but the understanding is not. The knowing is not so hard. The yielding is hard. You got to pray and fast. You got to do it. Oh, my prayer life is kind of shaky. Well, then I guess your sin life is probably strong. It's usually the way it works. Praying people typically stop sinning. Sinning people typically stop praying. That's usually the way it works. When you're struggling, you don't want to go to God. You don't want to look him in the eye. The more you pray, look how it works. Those things tend to lose their strength inside of you because you're feeding the right dog. You got to read the Bible. I mean, is this hard or what? You got to get into your word. Get into a Bible study. Feast on it. Old Testament says meditate on the word day and night. Fill yourself with his word. Make sure you're just saturating your mind with the things of God. You got to do that. You got to be a part of the fellowship. You can't do this as a lone ranger. The enemy knows. If he can separate you from the pack, he'll kill you. The wolf knows. Separate the sheep flock. There you go. Separate the sheep from the flock. That's the one that's going to get eaten. Happens every time. The devil's not a dumb guy. Why do we just play right into his hands? Oh, I don't feel like being a part of the body. Well, okay, fine. Then there's going to be teeth marks on you. And usually we got to make a rescue because you're hurting and struggling. Saturate your mind with pure things. What did Paul say in Philippians? Whatever is excellent, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, think about those things. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to get there in the fall, Romans 12. Saturate your mind with what is good. Serve. Serve. I found that the more Christians that are active in serving, the more that their minds are occupied with serving God and less on the flesh that they want to satisfy. Busy Christians are usually Christians that don't sin as much because they're working toward giving God glory. This is not a commercial because we need places filled around here. This is for your spiritual health. Serve somewhere. Develop a thankful attitude daily. It's really hard to look God in the eye, be thankful, and sin in the same breath. Start each day thankful. Develop a spirit of worship. As you get up in the morning, thank God for this day. Oh, Jesus, I thank you so much. Your grace is so free, washing over me. You have made me new. Now life begins in you. Just, wow, let's start the day and live throughout the day with a spirit of worship. Go public with your faith. Share with somebody. Man, it's really hard to sin in front of somebody you've just shared Jesus with. You'll be watching yourself big time, knowing they're watching you. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Here's what I know. When you're angry, your flesh tends to slip. When you're tired, your flesh tends to slip. When you're hungry, your flesh tends to slip. When you're stressed, your flesh tends to slip. There's an acronym for this. Call it HALTS. H-A-L-T-S, HALTS. When you're hungry, angry, I forgot the L, lonely, tired, or stressed, scared, sick, whatever else you want. When you're feeling those things, you tend to be weakened in the body. When the body is weakened, it tends to not be so strong in the spirit. Because the body and the spirit all work together. It's all one thing God made us. Okay? Very, very practical. And finally, God's fruit. We yield because of God's fruit. We yield because surrender to Jesus is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. Paul's trying to say, guys, should you sin any longer? Why would you do that? It leads to death. You're dead to sin, alive to Christ. When you're alive to Christ, that's a free gift. And that free gift is eternal life. Don't you want that? I sure want that. Because there's fruit. That fruit is eternal life. And we live in that eternal life now. Our theme song should be, I Surrender All. That should be our theme song. It's an old chorus. But we're going to sing it this morning. As we close, as we understand what we should know, and then we understand what we should do, and now we understand why we should yield and surrender every day. Let this song, I Surrender All, be your theme song each and every day. Okay, and so as the guys are getting ready to play, maybe we can just pause and ask God, God, help me to surrender. Help me, Lord, each day. To know that I'm dead to sin. To know that I'm alive to Christ. I've been baptized into Jesus' death. And I identify with you now. That I count it to my account. I have your grace. I have your freedom in my life. I can say no and I can say yes. And I do all this, Lord, because of your righteousness. Because of your favor, your freedom, and your fruit. So I choose today to surrender. Praise you, Lord. If there are those that have not yet surrendered for a first time, why not let today be the day? And your salvation prayer can be this song. It's really that simple. You can say, as you sing this song, Lord, that's my prayer. For those of you that have maybe wandered a bit, let's renew today and surrender. Surrender afresh. Knowing that the way you're going leads to death. Let's turn it around. Get away from the edge. Let's get close. Let's sing this together, shall we? If you need to look up and read the words, you can do that. If you know it by heart, make it your prayer. Sing together. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me. Let's surrender together. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Your Holy Spirit fill. thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Let's stand together and sing it. Sing it again. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all and all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross and raising to life again. For that gospel, the message of the cross, is foolishness to those that are perishing. But for those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Thank you for teaching us your power this morning, Lord. I know that some of us may need to do some longer business with God. If you need to do that, I invite you. The steps are here. Come and kneel at the steps. Come and kneel at a front row. Here's what I know. You hear a message and you go, oh, that was nice. I should do something about that. That's when by lunch you've forgotten and you didn't do anything about that. Before you leave, pray this in. Pray it in and do some work with God. If you need help praying, the prayer partners will be up front. They're going to pray with you. They'll agree with you and they'll support you. Let's not leave without taking quick action and getting right with God. Amen? Amen. Romans 1:16 says this. Say it with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. God bless you as you go. Let's live. Let's live in the Spirit, because God is risen from the dead. Amen. God bless you as you go.